Great to visit with you guys today about something really, something that's going to take, you're taking something to a brand new level. You guys are been selling some beef off the farm. Tell us about what you guys are doing with your beef.
Okay, so with the beef, we started out as like a small cow-calf operation where we focus on producing quality cattle and providing them with all of the tools that they need to be healthy and happy. And alongside of that, you know, selecting for the best genetics, longevity, efficiency, and productivity as our top priorities. So the way that we kind of transitioned into selling our beef was in the prime time of COVID, when all of the stores were going through like the meat shortage and everything. Our family kind of reached out to us and said, hey, can we buy beef? And so can we feed out some steers for our family? So we were like, sure. Griffin's parents had done that forever, and we just kind of added on some extras for family. And then a family friend reached out to us and asked, hey, do you guys have any steers that you would be able to put in the freezer? I would be interested. So we kind of hit the ground running with that, and he was actually our first non-family customer. So
obviously grown from there. Tell me, what are you guys, what changes are you guys going to make here before long to really take your business to the next level, maybe?
We believe that in order to survive in the cattle industry, we have to adapt. For us, that means that we have to find ways to utilize our talents and the cattle that we have in a way that promotes sustainability and provides for our family and those within our community. So the door is pretty much open in what changes we can make. I think in the future we may go into having a storefront and just trying to grow and keep things going the way that we are and keep growing.
You guys are currently doing some just products, and have been doing, you mentioned the beef business there. Really, what you're doing is just selling it by maybe the quarter, the half, or the whole, right?
Yes, we're.
So what we started out doing is selling our beef for the freezer. We are still currently doing that, but we have some new additions to our business. So as of now, we currently sell whole, half, and quarter beef, whole and half hogs, and then kind of with the realization that not everybody can afford to buy in bulk, we had a lot of requests for retail cuts, and so we've decided to go ahead and open that branch of our business as well. So we offer retail, they're frozen, but it's frozen retail cuts of beef and pork.
Obviously, you guys are going to do pretty much everything then from that point on. What are you guys, what are you hearing from folks out there? What do they say makes your beef special versus what they get other places?
I think what makes our beef special is that people know where their meat comes from. I also think that knowing that we are selling directly to our neighbors and our friends and our family within our community, it kind of holds us accountable for the quality that we produce. So even when you buy from places like Walmart, you're still supporting farmers, but you don't really know the life that that animal lived. And with us, you know, even if that animal wasn't raised on our farm, we source directly from local farmers within our community. And it's extremely important to us that we know the life that the animal lived and that they were cared for, and that the producers that we source from do the same.
Any particular breed you guys have found really worked well for you? Just using what you raise on the farm in particular, or what?
On the farm, we have majority of Black Angus, and we always buy Black Angus bulls. That seems to do best for us. Black-hided cattle is where the market is in today's times. So, and we found they marble very well, do well in the feedlot, and they're docile, very good moms. and it works out great for us.
I think at this point, too, we're still learning. We're still learning what it takes to make, you know, that perfect finished steer. We're learning how steers and heifers feed out differently. We're learning that if you, you know, change something nutritionally, this is how it affects the quality of the meat. I feel like we've tried a few different breeds, mainly still just out of our herd, Black Angus influence. But I think that we're still at the point where we can't really say this is how this is going to go because we're still learning.
Obviously, yeah, and you're still in vet school, so you should be out there before long and be back to the community. But how has that really influenced Madison, what you guys do with the beef cattle business? Yeah, you going through vet school and doing what you're doing there.
So it makes things easier and it makes things harder because it makes things easier that I can walk out into the field and identify a sick calf and say, okay, either it's sick enough that we just watch it, or we need to get it up and treat it. It makes it harder because when we're not home and we know that something needs to be done, we still have to rely on other people and other veterinarians, which is a blessing, but it's still really hard for me to be here with the knowledge that I have and not be able to do anything about it. So I think as far as our cattle health, I think that it's kind of, I don't want to say game changer because that's not the correct word, but I feel like we have an advantage almost in things that we can do for cow health because I have a background in medicine and health and all of those things. But as far as nutrition, you know, that's not my expertise. We actually reach out to nutritionists and people who know a lot more than I on those aspects. So it's good, but it has its challenges because even though I'm going through school, it's not like I'm going to come out knowing everything, and that becomes frustrating when you have things go wrong.
Absolutely. When you guys started this out a couple of years ago, or started just doing some things off the farm, Griffin, Madison, did you ever see yourself getting to this point?
Well, we wanted to be at this point. We weren't sure how things were going to go. We weren't sure if it was going to take off. That's one of the things that it's scary to start out a new business. There's a lot of things that have to be done, a lot of growing pains, but we are glad to be where we're at. And honestly, I think we all seen that we all hoped that it was going to go in this direction.
I also think too, that when Griffin and I first got our own little herd, our priorities were in a different place, you know, with the cattle. Our priorities were just making the best cow herd that we could, you know, whether that be bettering our vaccine protocols, bettering, you know, the nutrition, our rotational grazing protocols, you know, those were our priorities. We just wanted to have the best cattle, the healthiest cattle. And then, you know, this opportunity kind of landed in our lap and we've just kind of had to run with it. And it's been really rewarding, but like what Griffin said, it's come with challenges, it's come with growing pains, and ultimately we couldn't do it without our family, Griffin's parents, his two sisters. I think overall the farm would not run if there wasn't so many hands participating on a daily basis.
Obviously, in this day and time in Kentucky, and I know where you guys are at school right now, too, same thing. A lot of challenges out there in the meat industry now as well. Are you guys able to pretty much fill the needs of your customers now? You have a kind of a waiting list or what?
We do I'm not going to say we have a waiting list. We do two big kill dates a year. We do one in the fall. We've got one coming up in November. I've got 11 steers on that kill date, I think, and then I've got another kill date coming in March that we haven't started filling orders yet, but at any time we can start filling those orders. We just haven't been pushing that at this time. We're trying to get through the fall kill date and then fall processing date to get through that. And then we've got some for retail cuts in October. I've got a few more retail cuts calves to go in October. We've got 10 spots for pork in October. So it's we're filling spots relatively quickly.
I was going to say, we mainly talk about beef cattle. You guys are actually doing some pork as well, right?
Yes. We get the pork sourced locally from farmers locally. We don't actually raise the hogs.
They're families that we have bought from that feed our families for years. So when people, you know, ask us that question, like, hey, y'all don't actually raise the pork, how do you know the quality? And I'm like, well, we're a testament to the quality because it's been feeding our family for years.
I think it's pretty awesome. So where can you get pretty people purchase your product as you expand and move into more of the retail cut business here?
So our biggest marketing platform is Facebook. You know, we post all of our updates on there, on social media. We have an Instagram, too, but Facebook is our main platform. So what our current plan is, you know, because we all have jobs and things that occupy our daily time, is to go set up just our truck and trailer with a tent and our freezers in front of Four She's Building Supply on Saturdays. Those Saturdays will likely change, but we will post updates as we can. The first Saturday that we're opening retail cuts will be this coming Saturday on October 8th. We'll be set up from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock at Four She's Building Supply, and we'll have some giveaways and some music and just have a good time.
We'll have some samples of some beef and some sausage. I think we're going to have some little sliders of beef patty sliders and then some sausage sliders to let everybody get kind of a taste of what we've got, just give back to the community, kind of let everybody try us out and see what they're eating.
We'll also be set up Ham Festival weekend as well.
If we don't sell out.
Hopefully. But if all goes well, we'll be set up Ham Festival weekend as well. And then we'll kind of just have to reevaluate what our inventory is and everything going forward. The problem becomes when you have all of these animals, you're relying, you know, the animals, they finish out at like 12 to 15 months old, 15 to 18 months old sometimes. And so that's a long time to wait before you can fill your freezer again. So we're trying, as we grow, to be able to supply the freezer beef for people who want that, but also to have some left over for our freezers. So it's kind of a balancing game. It's not like I can have one finished in a month. Most of them finish in
15 to 18 months.
And then they're on grain for at least 4 to 5 months. So it's kind of a balancing act.
And so where do you see long-term? Where do you guys see this business taking you?
Well, we're going to continue to evolve and better our business with our cattle and customers' best interests as a priority in every decision. But hopefully we can get to the place where we can have a storefront. And keep doing, I don't think we'll ever stop doing the half holes and quarters, just because that works well for a lot of families. But some families some people just don't want that much meat, or they don't want every cut that they can get. So we're going to continue to try to do the retail cuts and hopefully have a storefront that we can open up in the future sometime and continue the pork and the beef side of that.
I also think that we didn't foresee ourselves here. I think probably 2 years ago we didn't see ourselves already having retail cuts. So it's kind of hard for us to say what our future will hold, because we're open to every possibility. You know, wherever we go, it'll, like Griffin said, have the best interests of our cattle and our customers in mind. And we're just kind of going to let the future take us where it's going to take us.